The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. And as you know, St. Mark is so short, we always add in these passages from John. So this is from chapter 6. After Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias, a large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now, the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw the large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because of a strong wind blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, I happened to bring my guy along. He was out on a fishing expedition in Canada for a while, Elijah Eagle. But I don't have any kids here today, so Elijah's going to go to sleep, I think. But he did want to tell you about something. He thought that this was interesting. This is a statue of the Last Supper on Thursday night before Jesus died. And it's interesting. I never thought about it before, but I counted the disciples here. Now, this is Roman Catholic. And in here, there are 11 disciples and Jesus. The question is, was Judas at the Last Supper when the meal was served or not? It has never been resolved, by the way. The Gospels of Luke and Mark say he was not. The Gospel of John says he was. He was present for the Last Supper, which says this. It says that Jesus served all without question. And that is what our church believes, that all were served, including Judas, who betrayed him that very night. So anyway, that was what I was going to talk about, and Elijah was going to explain all this. But we'll put Elijah and let him go to sleep for this sermon, which hopefully none of you do, but you never know. And we will let him sleep while we talk. But I thought that interesting. I had never looked and counted the disciples before in that statue that I have. I have another one I'm going to have to count and see how many disciples are in that. But it's interesting. I think it's the conservative churches who want people to feel that a certain way about receiving communion, closed communion, and those of us who believe in open communion And that would be the Gospel of John. So, and that's what we read for today. And notice he served everyone at that meal. And that's considered, in the church, it's considered a pre-communion meal. That's where Jesus started telling you how he was going to leave and what he was going to leave for us. So anyway, so grace to you and peace from our God and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Well, there's nothing like a drought, just like the one we're experiencing in the United States right now, to bring out prayers for all of us, and especially the fruits of our labor that need sunshine, but they also need rain. We know that, for instance, our bread belt, the whole Midwest here, depends on that bread of life, Christ, to provide abundant sunshine, but not too much. It also is absolutely necessary to have God's rain. I don't know if you had rain here the other night, but we had, what was it, 0.3 inches. It wasn't, I still had to go water the garden. There wasn't enough rain to even wet the ground. So we're in a drought here too somewhat. So we need that for the bread belt, and we also need it in California and the West, where a lot of our fruit and vegetables come from. Those are the fruit and vegetable belts. This morning in our gospel, well, we have kind of two gospels there. We have the one about feeding the 5,000, and then we go get in the boat. I don't know why we have both of them, but because that's another story for another day. But anyway, this morning we're loafing and we're fishing with Jesus the Christ. Well, not in the sense of how one little school child remembered this wonderful gospel story. When asked what her favorite Bible story was, she said, "The one about that boy who loafs and fishes all day." Maybe that's not as funny as we think when we think about bread is loafing and eating fish is fishing. Or loafing, coming into the presence of God, and fishing, I love to fish, by the way, fishing, sharing and receiving to be fishers of God's good news in this world, going out as fishers of humans. Sounds somewhat like a perfect combination to me for that girl's favorite Bible story. We get the sense of some pre-communion, as I mentioned, sharing the gospel. This thing doesn't stay on very well. Sharing the gospel, real food, loaves and fishes for a rather large group for a shore lunch, wouldn't you say? 5,000, and that just counts the men. They only counted the men back then, so we could perhaps almost double that, maybe 10,000 people with the children and the women. "And a child shall lead them" is my favorite. We've heard that before. The message is a young, innocent one, shows us what we once knew instinctively in our hearts, before the world taught us to be judgmental, to be selfish, to take one disciple out of the table, not willing to share of our abundance. This young boy that Jesus encounters with the disciples comes forth just readily and shares what he has, 5 loaves and 2 fish. I bet they were walleyes. Well, maybe not in the Sea of Galilee. When you think about it, how did he come up with so much food so quickly? 5 loaves for a little boy? And why? Doing a kind act, it returns people to a time when they would have shared with guests too. Sharing. In my family growing up, I grew up at the confluence of the Eau Claire and Chippewa Rivers. You wouldn't recognize it from when I grew up, downtown Eau Claire. The unwritten rule at our table was that you never took the last serving from the serving bowl. It was given to the guest, and we usually had a guest because the back door was always open and people knew what time we ate. Neighbors, friends, relatives, they all came at one time or another, and Bess would serve them. It was very informal and just pulled up another chair. They knew that. People knew that the back door was always bidding friends and neighbors. If we had no guests, however, my brother and I had to ask about that last piece of chicken or whatever it was. And if we both wanted it and argued over it and fought over it, Then my grandmother would say, the last piece is a gift for the hungry animals outside. Neither one of us got it. That settled the score. Nothing was ever thrown away or wasted. With two kids in the house, my mother, my grandmother, a nature preserve in the backyard, a compost heap in the garden, plus I loved the night crawlers in a big basin, iron pot in the basement, who liked banana peels. In our gospel story for today, we reach the next stage in adult thinking. Doubt in the gift of a 12-year-old boy. Doubt. Doubt that he could, the disciple, well, what's this among so many? And he's talking to Jesus. What are 5 loaves and 2 fish for all those gathered? In biblical storytelling, 5 and 2 equals 7, and that's significant. 7 is ancient times was the number for infinity. And if you've got a camera that has that kind of lying down figure 8, you know that means infinity. So if the boy had 7 pieces of food, he had an infinite supply, according to the Bible. Like that resting figure 8. When you want everything in focus, nothing left unclear or left out. An interesting comparison. The story about loafing and fishing then moves to a story about small, insignificant people like you and me sharing greatly to lead the throng. Jesus has all participate to be seated like at table. Usually they reclined on the grass. Jesus takes these loaves and he gives thanks and he distributes to everyone. Everyone. No close communion here. And that's a debate on the Last Supper. The supply just keeps going till all have enough, but not too much. Sounds familiar? The world made visible through and in people, regular folks, believing in Jesus, believing in his power to change people, to work through the least likely people in this world, children and others. The Church of the Multiplication in Israel displays mosaics from the 3rd century to this day. Very old mosaics. They're kind of falling apart. If you go there, you'll see that they're very old. That's about 200 years after the Gospel of John, which is the one we read for today, was written, the last gospel written. Question. Did all come unprepared with no food, no snacks to spend the day with Jesus? Did they? Would you do that? One mosaic shows many persons with loaves tucked in their tunics and baskets hidden in their tunics. Another mosaic, almost destroyed by aging at this point, shows an infinite, there's that word again, amount of food arrayed on the grass. Maybe these people were like we are. If they revealed their wealth, they might be compelled to share it with others. That may well be the miracle in this story. Not so much Jesus the magician, but Jesus getting people to share their wealth at a picnic. That may well be the most important miracle of the gospel of the multiplication of loaves and fish. More than Jesus becoming some kind of a king, a magician, through using a young boy, though, as an instrument of love for others, brings us to share our wealth when we see this young boy doing it. Today's story of one who fed many, many more than 5,000 probably, with those 5 loaves and 2 fish, brings us a sense of the possible from what seems impossible and is impossible without Christ and faith in Christ Jesus. And why is a meal so important in Jesus' ministry? Have you ever thought about that? Why is a meal so important? Well, for one thing, it's Jesus' body and blood. But food, when you think about it, food in this case, bread and fish, offers an intimate moment of sharing very closely with each person there, even though there's a throng. It offers strength and faith. First, we must receive real food for physical energy. That's why we have breakfast programs for children in schools where they can't afford meals for their children. Because they have to be physically ready for the day. They have to have real food in order to function. And we have to have real food, and then we are ready for spiritual food for our ministries. Jesus' food empowers. Given by Christ and the generosity of a young 12-year-old, the same age as Jesus was when he entered the temple to teach, 12. And remember, 12 equaling wholeness, as we talked about before. 12 baskets left over, wholeness. The gospel writer wouldn't have mentioned the boy's gift unless he believed in that being part of the miracle that day for Jesus. God can do wonders in us too if we believe in these small gifts doing miraculous things. Someone sharing out of her or his poverty, someone believing in small gifts from children and the least likely in this world, a hug, a kiss, a hand, someone coming to us during communion service with just a small portion of bread or a small sip of wine, miraculously transforming us with forgiveness, with strength, with life, with salvation. Jesus fed and continues to feed the multitudes, us. Jesus uses each of us as instruments too. Through insignificant, though insignificant we may think we are, Jesus makes us instruments. Today's gospel is not the last time a small child shall lead the masses, is it? It happens every day somewhere. Our small offerings may seem like the boy's offerings that day on the shore lunch, but our offerings are transformed miraculously. What about the young girl from an unlikely country of all places, Mingora, Pakistan? Her name, Malala Yousafzai. She was 12 too. How ironic. When she started collecting loaves and fishes, she began by writing the oppressive life under Taliban rule, which may come back now. She stood for girls receiving an education to change the world. There's a billboard, I don't know if it's still up, I didn't notice on the way up, but there was a billboard up on old Highway 53 with her picture on it and what she has done. She was almost silenced in 2009 as she boarded a school bus in northern Pakistan. A gunman asked her name, and as she gave it, three shots rang out. She lay near death for weeks. After that near-death experience, guided by God, you would think that she would go into hiding, wouldn't you? After that? A young girl? Not Malala. Mm-mm. She is on God's mission to multiply God's miracles in this world. In 2013, she was declared the most influential person in the whole world by Time magazine. And in 2014, she became the youngest Nobel Prize for Peace recipient for bringing education and hope to children, especially girls. A mere child, a miracle of multiplication still going on through Jesus. Loaves and fishes of Jesus multiplied in a child leading us. The boy shared his all, and he caused others to do likewise. A girl shared her all and caused a world to take notice and change. They were both age 12. Wholeness. And a child shall lead them. What we think is insignificant in this world is a means to miracles and transformation in this world. You were chosen by God. I was chosen by God. Look and see what God is using us to do today. Rejoice in what God can accomplish in the most unlikely, us. Today we are loafing and we are fishing with the Christ. We are capable of miracles through God's action in us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.